Back on the air with Radio Entrepreneurs. We're in the weeds again with Walter Sullivan. I heard we were up in smoke earlier, but we're in the weeds.
We were, and I think Jeffrey had to go. Jeffrey had to leave and do a little medication.
Something. We're next up here with David Havey.
Good morning.
Security 101. Thanks for joining.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, Nathan, this is the part of the process that people don't necessarily pay attention to, the security process in getting into this business, especially from a community. And I'll let Dave explain, you know, how his company got involved in this, their background, and what he sees as problems some of these applicants face.
Well, I mean, we saw overall, you know, the entire United States is interested in cannabis. And when we had the opportunity to present or be a guest at the, not this past year, but we were there, but the year before at the cannabis show in Boston, we sound such a hole in what people understand in terms of security, especially as it pertains to what the state of Massachusetts requires. As I was telling Walter before the show, one of the people we met at the last cannabis show was trying to use security cameras that they were going to buy from, like, BJ's, the stuff you would put in your house. And from what the requirements are per the state, that's not sufficient. Not to say you have to spend a fortune, but it's just they don't have an understanding as to what's actually required by your law.
Yeah. Now, Dave, you've been to a number of towns,
correct,
helping clients with security issues, plus speaking to towns, community meetings, and so forth. What have you seen the biggest issues that towns have with cannabis coming to their communities?
It's like anybody else would say. You know, they want to make sure that the people in the community are going to be safe, and they want to make sure that, you know, everything is being accounted for. Especially, you know, not just people robbing because of the cash aspect of what you guys have to put up with, but also, you know, people inside the businesses themselves. They want to make sure that, you know, they're not making off. Everybody deals with in retail short, but especially in this case, they can't afford that. I mean, you know, it's a legal issue rather than just, you know, making off with a T-shirt. So they're concerned about these things being really tightly controlled by cameras, by access control, by other types of security, so that, you know, the product is where it is and sold in the way that it's supposed to be sold.
Explain some of the things that you might do when you walk into a facility to look at it and develop a plan for people.
Well, again, everything goes back to what the state requires. I mean, you know, individual towns have their own issues, but, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, they know who is taking care of the product. You know, whether it's in a grow facility or it's in a dispensary, they want to make sure that, you know, when you walk into a room, what does the person have? They need to be seen on camera. You know, they need to be able to track through their access control badge, you know, what rooms they're entering at what times. So everything is traceable down to the minute where, you know, if the state comes in, they want to see, okay, well, who was doing it and where was it? And these sort of things, you need to have the proper types of access control cameras. And the fact that the state requires redundancy where, you know, I've done jewelry stores and things like that to have a UL certificate for what's required for people that have large sums of cash and gold and jewelry. And the state requires something that surpasses that, where they have, you know, you have an alarm system, but they also want to have a complete backup where it's working at the same time. So if one fails, this one's already up and running, which I haven't seen before, but that's what the state requires, and it's doable. I think it puts a lot of pressure on people, especially you know, trying to get into it, where the cost of doing what the state requires can be prohibitive in some cases.
Now, how do you look at the outside of the business?
Well, again, especially when you're dealing with stores that have glass. You see, especially because of the way they restrict where these businesses can be, you industrial parks, sometimes that's not an issue because some of the buildings just don't have windows. But you have to make sure that, you know, the outside is covered by cameras all around. There can't be blind spots. And that the fact that anything that has a window needs to have motion sensors inside the building and in some cases glass break detection. But those are the things you look at in terms of where the parking is. You know, how does the product get from where it's grown and processed to the dispensary. What's the transition of that? Also, how the cash is handled inside the building is also a big deal in terms of, you know, almost like the old fashioned bank cash drops with inside the building where it goes from the retail side into a cash counting area.
So what you do jewelry businesses, you do other high cash businesses.
Correct.
The way you compare this is that this is much more overdone, or maybe I shouldn't use that word.
Well, Security Solutions does, Security 101 does a lot of large businesses. We are in gaming. We do Foxwoods Casinos. So, I mean, there's a business that does millions and millions of dollars of cash transactions a day. So we understand what it takes to monitor the movement of cash through a facility. We also do medical facilities. We do all of Bay State Medical. So we understand the what has to be done in terms of watching a medical product and dealing with the people that are the clients as well as the people that are handling the products themselves.
So your past business really fits into...
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it really walks you right into this business because of what you do.
Right.
But this is even more stringent than those other two categories.
Right, and the thing that amazes me is that, you know, there's so many different standards across the country. Like, we're working with California, you know, we're working with the state of Connecticut, and though they're serious about security, I think the redundancy levels that the state of Massachusetts requires makes it, you know, like I said, prohibitive for a lot of people if they want to do it right. And I think the security concerns of local municipalities with their process in terms of, you know, how many people they have to see, how many process to get your local host agreements, I think that also, that trepidation that people have about having a marijuana business in their municipality, they don't want to be the ones that sign off on something where it causes a problem. So security for them is a huge concern.
Yeah, I mean, I know in Boston, when Patriot Care opened there, they required a police detail. That lasted for 3 months because they realized there really isn't an issue. Crime rates have not gone up in the area of these dispensaries. So it's really getting people used to and comfortable with this new industry coming into play. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, you know, from a personal standpoint, I mean, I'm a cancer patient, and my during my first round of cancer a couple of years ago, I did the medical marijuana for nausea, and the people involved both on the medical side, and I'm assuming from the people I've met on the recreational side, all the same people. I mean, you couldn't find a more, and the customers the same way. I mean, I don't understand the concern, because none of the people that I've met through both my business side and also on my own personal side seem to be the ones that you would be most concerned about. I mean, you know, the community of all are law abiding. They're not at all the people that they're stereotyped to be. So I think a lot of the concerns are more, you're looking back at silly things like Reefer Madness and even seeing things with Cheech and Chong. And these are not the stereotypes. These are stereotypes that aren't accurate.
No, I agree with you. I think that's what you find. I mean, you do the casino business too. And the old stories of pumping oxygen, there was no light inside them because you didn't want people to know that it was daytime or nighttime.
No clocks.
That doesn't exist anymore in that industry. And it does not exist in this industry at all.
No.
You also do schools and so forth.
Correct.
So you know the various type of securities you have to worry about.
Correct.
What do you think, when you first see a client coming into you to do a security plan, what type of issues do they have, and what do they think they should do versus when you finally educate them?
Well, again, it's going to depend on what vertical they're coming from. And we do everything from schools. We do manufacturing. We work with Sikorsky. We work with the federal government, even things like SCIFs in terms of very high top secret security types of facilities, obviously medical and gaming. But there's not a vertical that we haven't touched one way or the other, and all have different requirements. You know, they could be all from just somebody that wants to, you know, just have an alarm that when they're not there, they're confident that if it goes off, someone's going to, you know, there, to things where at Foxwoods, thousands and thousands and thousands of cameras that are watching people 24 hours a day, and they need to keep this, the record of it, for, you know, an extended period of time. So the storage requirements are vast. You know, so it depends. You know, that's one of the things we do very well, is that because of our experience, you know, we can bring a lot of different products and solutions to bear that's going to fit everybody on a more tailored basis.
On your cannabis clients, though, do they come in with a well-educated background on what they need for security, or do you find they don't understand it?
Well, it's not fair, because, I mean, you know, everybody has their own expertise, but I think in some of the clients that we've seen, I mean, you have people coming in from the community that know vast amounts about how to produce a quality product, and then you have the people on the money side that know how, or they're trying to on the business end of it. And so what we do is we fill a gap that you really can't fill any other way. I mean, there's very few people, I think, that come to this that have an experience in security, whether they were former law enforcement or from commercial security side.
And I agree with that. I mean, and it's a very important gap.
Yeah.
That, especially when you find a local communities, that's their concern.
Right.
What would you tell people looking to get into this business, as from a security perspective, someone who wants to get into this business to provide services? And then what would you tell applicants looking to get into this business?
Well, I mean, from a security point of view, it's, if you're already in the security business one way or the other, the state of Massachusetts did lay out pretty much in detail what they're going to say, hey, you need that. It's more specific than some other places, where I think in Maine they don't even have a real statute as to what they're required for people to grow up there and what they need for security. So the state does give you, as you know, comprehensive it is, what you can do to for each individual client. In terms of the clients, it's, you know, you know you're going to need it. The idea here is to, you know, talk to people. There's a lot of small independent security companies out there that just don't have the bandwidth to, first of all, give them the products and be able to do it at a competitive price. And then you have the larger companies that are just, you know, they're too big. I think that's where Security 101 is in a sweet spot, because we have the resources of being one of the biggest companies in New England, as well as having the size to be able to react on a very quick basis for the client.
And on the applicant side?
For the applicant, it's just, you know, do your research. I mean, you know, I want your business, don't get me wrong, but if you don't use Security 101, make sure that the people you're working with, you know, they have the resources, that they have the knowledge, that they're just not somebody that's going to come in, throw up a bunch of cameras and say you're good. There are other people out there that can do the job. It's just there's a lot of people that can't.
Wow, thanks for all that. That was a good conversation. Again, we've been speaking with David Havey of Security 101. Walter, we've been in the weeds. Thanks again. We will be back after these messages with more Radio Entrepreneurs.
Dave, how would they, just for a minute.
Oh, I apologize. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Dave, how would people get a hold of you?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.security101.com/Connecticut. Our offices are in Connecticut, but we are responsible, and we do have clients all over New England and all over the country. You can get in touch with us at our 800 number, which is 800-991-4170.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. Once again, we've been speaking to David Havey of Security 101. We'll be back after these messages with more Radio Entrepreneurs.